Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Abundant Living for Moms. Today, we're talking about parental controls. And this is a question that I get a lot. You know, we're all digital parents. You know, if you have children today, Gen Z or younger, you are absolutely raising a digital citizen. And that means that there are new rules of engagement. That means that what it means to be a successful parent today is very, very, very unique. It's unique to the digital age we live in. I'm very careful to not make it seem as if it is better or it is worse than what parenting used to be. I don't also believe in the sentiment that it's so much harder and it's so much more complex. I prefer to come from the perspective that it is a different world. You know, rules of engagement are different. What we can do is very different from what we used to be able to do. But that is life. Life evolves. Life changes. Innovations will always happen. Inventions will always happen. You know, if we talk about a cooker right now, a gas stove, right, where you can just turn a button and you get the gas coming through your cooker, whether it's electric or gas, you know, and you use that to cook your food today. I'm sure if you told our ancestors who had to create fire, who invented fire, that a time would come when they could cook without having to go fetch firewood and, you know, light it and wait for the fire to burn, to get very hot before they put on the cooking pot and all of that. You get the idea. And the same thing with so many different things. If you look at history, which I do a lot, I'm very fascinated by looking backwards to understand where we're coming from so we can get a sense of where we are today and where we're still headed. You know, when cars first came out, there was fear and resistance around it. When the steam engines came out, there was fear and resistance around it. When the internet came, there were people who thought there's no way this is going to last or be here forever. Look where we are today. You know, when social media came, people probably thought, nah, this is no big deal. Some people ignored it. Some people refused to engage with it. Now we've moved into a space of generative AI. So for me, I don't see all this advancement as a place of fear. I see it as just who we are as human beings. We're always going to be innovating, always going to be inventing new ways to do things, improving things. Unfortunately, some things will be worse and get worse, but I don't have that view that says parenting today is so difficult and therefore there's no way we can hack it or there's no way we can be successful. No, right? So what I want us to talk about today is parental controls. So parental controls, do you need it? Why do you need it? Maybe you don't need it. Let's discuss. It's a question I get asked quite a lot, and I want us to discuss that today because for us to be effective parents, for us to be mothers, you know, and fathers, but this show is Abundant Living for Moms. So if we're talking about living our most abundant lives, we cannot do it from a place of fear. And if we're fearful about the technology that is here to stay and continues to evolve, then that means that we're not living very abundantly. That means we're not coming from a place of understanding that, you know what, it's a different world, different tools exist. But all those things are simply tools. We need to understand how to engage with these tools in such a way that we are raising our children to make the right choices and to be empowered in this day and age that we live in. So when it comes to parental controls, I'm going to explain what it is, and then we're going to discuss why I believe it's critical for every parent to understand what it is and then figure out which of them you want to engage with and how you're going to use it effectively. So parental controls, parental software controls specifically, is really around putting controls in place onto your children's devices, whether it's their smartphones, their tablets, their laptops, any device that's connected to the internet as a smart device. The parental control essentially allows you to have a layer on top where you can protect and monitor what your children are doing. Right now, it's not about you not trusting your children, okay? It is about the fact that these devices and technologies are made in a certain way that are quite, that can be quite intrusive, and they can be very influential in a child's life if there's no controls around it. So nobody was born knowing exactly how to navigate the digital world. Nobody was born knowing exactly how many hours per day is just enough for us to ensure that what we're consuming online or how much screen time we're getting, that is a perfect answer. Up to today, with all the research that has now started to come out, there's still no perfect answer in terms of how many hours is exactly the right number of hours for you to determine that, you know, at this point, that after this point, then, oh my God, that's way too much screen time. There's no magic answer yet, right? What we do know is that not all screens are created the same. So your child might spend 3 hours on screens and learning a lot of valuable information. They're taking the right breaks when they should. You know, they've blocked off everything that's inappropriate and not relevant to their age. And somebody else can spend 3 hours online and consume and get and interact with such inappropriate content that by the time they get off those 3 hours, they are not in a good place, right? So screen time is not created equal. Just the same way food and nutrition is not created equal. Someone who eats junk food every single day, even though they might look healthy, there's a lot of things probably going on internally that you're not going to know till much later down the line if you compare that person to somebody else whose nutrition is wholesome and a balanced diet that has a little bit of all the food groups that's needed. So I hope that picture really helps with realizing that it's not either or, it is and. So parental control really is a responsible tool that parents use to help them ensure that they are monitoring and training their children when it comes to screen time, what they are watching, when they get on, what time do they get off to go to bed, and things like that. All right, so there are several types, which is typically always the next question. All right, what type should I get? Which is the best one? And there are several on the market. I mean, there's so many good parental control tools out there, but I'm going to just mention a few. And of course, Google is your friend, so you can always get online or use whatever your favorite search engine is to find out which tool you want to use. But I'm going to share from my personal experience and perspective what I've used and what I've found effective, and maybe anything else I've heard about. So the first one I would mention is one called QStudio. I believe that's how it's pronounced. QStudio. I will put all the links in the notes. QStudio is one that it's a parental software monitoring tool that you can download on multiple devices. So it can be used on tablets, on phones, on laptops. And what it allows you to do is put in controls such as, you know, screen time limits, bedtime. You can block certain categories from coming up at all. So you can block adult categories, for example, so that your child doesn't even stumble on those. It's not perfect. Let's remember, none of these things are 110% accurate, but it definitely goes a long way in filtering out content that you don't want your child to be exposed to. You can set it such that maybe bedtime is 9 p.m. You can set it such that 9 p.m. the device is shut down and the child can no longer access the internet. Now, as I've always said with these tools, they are tools to be used in addition to a healthy, open communication between parent and child. So don't put in controls in place without having a conversation with your child for them to understand where you're coming from. So mothers need to be, you know, empowered. Fathers too. Anybody who wasn't born in the digital age, the truth is we are having to learn how to operate in a world where not only are we users ourselves, but we're also raising children who are heavy users. I mean, our children are heavy native users of platforms and tools that we have only come to know in our adulthood. So that by default means that there's some difference from how you approach it to how your children who are native users will approach it. So that's the first example of a parental software, QStudio. And I believe in being educated about why these tools exist and how you can use it. So when you put it in place, you're not bringing it from a place of you're just being nosy or you just want to spy on your children. No, you're doing it so you can protect them and eventually wean them from needing you to watch and monitor everything they're doing online. Because I don't know about you, but I certainly don't want to be constantly worried about my children's use of screen time when they're older, when they're out of the house, when they've got off to college. So we really have to put the do the work early so that we don't have to keep following and worrying, you know, forever. So that's the first one that we talked about, Custodio. The next one I'm going to talk about is this comes with, you know, Apple product users. So if your family are iPhone, iPad, Mac users, then there's a family control that comes built in to, you know, the Apple devices. You know, there's nothing to download here. You basically just have to turn it on and you have to connect your account to your children's account. This way, they are on your device. You need to set a passcode, and you can do the same set of things, right? So you can set screen time. You can decide who they can talk to at downtime. You can decide that bedtime is 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. and devices shut down then. You can also determine that, you know what, during the week, maybe you only want them to have 1 hour on their various social media accounts, after which, you know, they have to ask you for additional time. I will say that I found that there's a little bit of a hack here, if you will, where really the children I found can just ignore. They can just skip, you know, skip the time you have set. So I found that that's a little bit of a, you know, it's not as effective as it could be, in my opinion. I don't know if there's something I'm doing wrong, but I've noticed that the children can literally just click, you know, give me one more minute, give me 15 more minutes. And I think if they do that across all the various different platforms, they could probably be there on for a little bit longer than you really, really want them to. So that's one thing I'm actually hoping that eventually maybe gets fixed and they can only ignore or ask for more time for a limited amount of time. But as of the time of this recording, I found that the children can just, you know, ask for more time and get more time. All right. So that's Apple solution. So if you're an Apple user, Apple family, it's very easy for you to use it. It's already built in. You don't have to download or pay for anything additional. Okay. The next one is Google Family Link. And this is also built into the Android devices. So it's in Google Play Store. You would have to download it. There's a little bit of installation work to be done, but this is free and this also allows you to do basically all the same things, right? There's another one I've used recently, which is called Bark, like the dog barking, B-A-R-K. And this is another tool that lets you do the same things. So these are just a few that I've used or I'm aware of that I find works really well. The other one I've recently found that works quite well is looking at your internet provider and asking them what they offer. So some internet providers actually have it built in where you can, once again, it's going to need a little bit of a learning curve for you, but you're going to basically figure out the IP address of all the devices in your house, which can be a lot of work. If you have four people in the house, everybody has on average 2 to 3 devices. That's a lot of devices in the house. But basically what you do is you can identify and name your children's devices and you can decide to turn off the internet and the Wi-Fi right from the source. So you can decide at 10 o'clock, screen time, no internet, done. And you can do it by device. Okay. So these are just a few of them. So let me just run over it again. There's QStudio. There's That's the one from Apple for families, which is built into all Apple devices. There's Google Family Link, which you can get from the Google Play Store. And there's Bark, which is B-A-R-K, which is also paid for. So QStudio and Bark are paid for. But rather than focusing on the specific examples, what I would say is you want to identify why you want to get parental software controls, why you're putting it in place, and what you want to control. So before you rush out to buy it, install it, download it, it's very important you think through your family's digital well-being plan. What is the plan you have for your family? When is bedtime? Have you calculated how many hours of sleep your child needs? Have you had the conversation with your children if they already have smart devices? Have you had conversations with them so they understand why you're putting controls in place? You know, you want to protect them from seeing inappropriate content online, but you also want to have conversations with them where if they do see things they shouldn't see online, what do they do, right? Do they hide? Do they feel that you're going to be upset and not bring it to you? Or together, you're going to figure out how to help them so that they don't keep getting served the same, you know, inappropriate content. Because if the computers lock into the, you know, this particular IP address likes this type of information, remember, computer is not a person. It's simply an algorithm. And if it identifies that this type of content is liked by this particular machine or device, it's going to try to optimize for that and send that particular device or user on social media more of that type of content. Which is why it's really important that parents monitor this, because if you see something pop up on your child's feed, for example, or you get a notification from one of these parental software tools telling you that, oh, XYZ, you know, looked up this type of content, which could be a red flag. You know, this is where parenting styles come in. You don't automatically become dramatic and go flying at them. You want to understand what might have happened. Do they stumble on it? You know, and then what do you do to ensure that maybe you have to take a few steps to block that type of content from being served to your child's devices? So it's not a rush. It's not a sprint, actually. It's more like a marathon. It's a journey. You know, you're starting from the perspective of a digital parent today needs to be aware of the digital age we live in, needs to be aware that we are raising heavy users of, you know, digital tools and platforms, need to understand that we need to put some guidance and safeguards in place to ensure that our children are protected when they are online. We need to recall and remember that social media platforms and online platforms were not created with children in mind as users. They have become users, but that doesn't mean the companies have necessarily adjusted what they should to protect our children on the street of social media or digital technologies. So it's our role as parents to play that part in their lives. And we can't come at it from a place of fear, because if you do and your child feels they can't open up and talk to you about what they are seeing and how they are engaging with content online, they're not going to tell you what's going on. One of the things you can't afford is to have a child who disappears into their virtual world and you have no idea what they're doing, what they like, what they're watching, and why they're watching it. So think of parental software controls as a parenting toolkit. As a parenting resource that you have in your toolkit for you to help your child stay safe online, right? You're not being a spy. It doesn't mean you don't trust them. It's just the fact that you need to have that today. It's almost like living in a neighborhood and you think your neighborhood is safe. You're still going to expect to lock the front door. You might have a security system in place. You know, you're going to tell everybody at night, make sure you lock the door, shut the door, things like that. You know, you're not going to say that because you live in a safe neighborhood, for example. You're going to leave your front door wide open and, you know, hope for the best. I think it's the same thing right now. You know, this is where our children engage. They go online for several things: education, entertainment, information, homework, so many things, right? It's their digital playground. You know, technology and screen time is neutral. What's not neutral is how we engage with it and how we respond to what we see. So to summarize the session for today, it's just an encouragement for parents. You know, I get this question a lot, and do I think every parent should have some kind of parental software, parental monitoring in place for children at least 16 and under? Absolutely. You know, but you want to do it with knowledge, with information, and with setting some ground rules for your family, so everybody understands what you're working towards and why you have specific rules in place, such as how long they can be online and what's going to happen if they come across inappropriate content that they really shouldn't be looking at, and you've been able to explain to them why certain content is not appropriate for their particular age, and making sure that there's an open line of communication so your children can talk to you and you can talk to them as well. And lastly, I would also want to advise parents to not operate from a place of fear, because if you're fearful, then that means you're
you tend to react. And when you are reacting, that means you're not as proactive to think about what you're saying and why you're saying it. So take time to listen to this. Pause. Ask yourself, what do you need? How old is each child? What platforms are they already using? How many devices do they have access to? When you've done a little bit of that audit already, then you can start determining what is the best type of, you know, parental software of controls you want to put in place. And then you can start with starting to implement that and making sure that you review regularly so that you know if something has happened or something has changed or your children have figured out your password, which, by the way, happens. And sometimes you need to adjust and have a whole different type of conversation, because if your child just turns off your screen time monitoring because they want more time and they didn't have a conversation with you, that in itself is a little bit of a parental issue, which you must discuss very calmly and make it clear what the consequences are if they turn off, you know, controls you have put in place. So I hope this was helpful, and I hope this answers the question of whether to use parental software controls, why you should want to use it, what the options are, and how to make sure that you're using it effectively. So thanks again. If you have any further questions, feel free to reach out to us at Lagos Moms or at Yeti Williams, all on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we also have a website with a lot of information around parenting, motherhood, and raising children in the digital age. Thanks for listening.